This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله خير once again for the opportunity. بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. Just a quick reflection, a stanza from a very long poem of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah, in which he says, وَلَا حُزْنٌ يَدُومُ وَلَا سُرُورٌ وَلَا بُؤْسٌ عَلَيْكَ وَلَا رَخَاءُ. And today in the current situation we are living through this particular phase and period, he says, وَلَا حُزْنٌ يَدُومُ وَلَا سُرُورٌ وَلَا بُؤْسٌ عَلَيْكَ وَلَا رَخَاءُ. One of the lessons that life teaches us is that neither prosperity nor adversity nor affluence nor poverty remains permanently. So it is a cycle, and we turn in and we move in. Currently we're somewhat in the phase of adversity, difficulty, grief and somber. But surely this will also turn and it will move on. إِذَا مَا كُنْتَ ذَا قَلْبٍ قَنُوعٍ فَأَنْتَ وَمَالِكُ الدُّنْيَا سَوَاءُ. And then he reminds us that if you are blessed with contentment, then even if you are in lockdown mode and you are limited, you still remain a king without a throne. I think another point of encouragement that is very vital and imperative, while we impress upon the need of patience and endurance in the face of the affliction and the virus, as the lockdown continues and intensifies and the economy across the globe is bleeding, I think it's also important that we give reassurance to people that Allah is our sustainer. Allah is our sustainer. Because that has been one of the more direct implications and consequences of this lockdown, that of course people from simple to elite are feeling the pinch and are having to contend with quite a bit of financial constraints. So there is a verse in the Quran, in the 20th juz, in the 29th chapter, in Surah Al-Ankabut, verse number 17, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ لَكُمْ رِزْقًا فَابْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقَ وَاعْبُدُوهُ وَاشْكُرُوا لَهِ إِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. So the reason why I'm driving this point, because whoever you meet and speak with, people are quite afraid, concerned, as time is moving on and, you know, there's rentals to pay and there's no income, there's no money coming in. So again, we use this opportunity to remind ourselves as believers that as much as in the case of trying to protect ourselves from the virus, we say prevention or we say precaution is necessary, but the cure comes from Allah. Likewise, when it comes to sustenance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has impressed upon us to do the basic things, and we do that, but ultimately Allah is the sustainer. So Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, verily those whom you sustain besides Allah, لَا يَمْلِكُونَ لَكُمْ رِزْقًا, they do not have any control of your sustenance. فَابْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقًا, so search for sustenance by Allah. Basic Arabic grammar, the word rizq and sustenance has featured in this verse number 17 of the 29th chapter, 20th juz of the Quran twice. In the first context, it has featured as an indefinite article, as nakira, right? نَكَّرَ الرِّزْقَ أَوَّلًا ثُمَّ عَرَّفَهُ. And in the latter portion, it features as a definite article. So basic Arabic grammar will reveal to you when anything appears as an indefinite article, there is a umum in it, there is a general, there's a broad meaning. And when it appears as a definite article with an alif lam, when it is mu'arraf, it is more fixed and direct and exclusive. So what's the message? لِأَنَّهُ أَرَادَ بِذَلِكَ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَسْتَطِيعُونَ أَن يَرْزُقُوكُمْ شَيْئًا مِنَ الرِّزْقِ فَابْتَغُوا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الرِّزْقَ كُلَّهُ لِأَنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ. The scholars say the wisdom of this, and this is the beauty of the Quran, why here has it come as a nakira in academic language, as in an indefinite noun versus a definite, to say that whoever you supplicate besides Allah, they have absolutely no control over sustenance. Absolutely no control. And sustenance in its entirety is found by Allah. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ الرَّزَّاقُ لَا غَيْرُ. So I think we need to drive this message as well and give assurance and confidence and comfort to each other. And we are also told that the more we give charity, the more Allah will give us. The more we give charity, the more Allah will give us. That's the reality, that charity attracts the mercy of Allah and brings sustenance. What did the Urdu poet say, you know, speaking about the crisis of the world in which we live? He says that, Nange jism ko dampne ke liye koi paisa nahi deta, magar apne jism ko nanga karne ke liye log apni daulatein luta dete hai. Nange jism ko dampne ke liye koi paisa nahi deta, magar apne jism ko nanga karne ke liye log apni daulatein luta dete hai. How strange, how ironical, people won't take the time and the effort to use their money to clad those who don't have cloth. Yet people will spend tens of thousands of dollars and pounds to undress themselves. Someone said, give flowers to the living and not to the dead. So sadaqah attracts the mercy of Allah. And again, I'm using this as a sense of reassurance that we need to keep our focus on Allah. And Allah will provide for you from avenues that you cannot perceive. Now, human nature, when you find yourself in financial limitations, then you apply your mind. Maybe something will happen from here. Maybe something will happen from there. But the promise of Allah is that it will happen from avenues you don't know. Now, you can only visualize what you know, because you're not going to assume you need a favor. You're going to ask someone you know. You cannot imagine asking a favor from someone who's unknown to you, right? That's the reality of the matter. So the hadith, Imam Muslim makes mention of it in Sahih Muslim, where Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu says, and we've heard the hadith where a person was walking in a waterless land. Bainama rajulun yamshi fi falatin. I'm talking of divine, miraculous intervention outside the ordinary. And he's walking, fasami'a sawt. He hears a voice from a cloud. This is the authentic hadith. And the cloud says, isti hadiqata fulan. That shower, a voice comes out from the cloud that this rain must be showered on the garden and the orchard of a particular person. So the hadith is clear, it's a waterless land, it's barren, there's no water. And probably there's a shortage, there's a drought, there's famine, etc. So people now are desperate to get water so that they can have some produce, they can harvest, they can eat and sell. And there's a crisis. Now, when this water is not available, how do you generate water? This is something outside human grip or grasp. There's absolutely nothing you can do. So the water rains down on a rocky surface, and then it trickles down through a channel, and it comes to a particular orchard. And this person, curious as he was, he follows the sound, he follows the cloud, and then he sees the water coming down on this rocky surface, trickling down through this channel, and he comes to this orchard and this garden, and this man is standing there, and يُحَوِّلُ الْمَاءَ بِمِسْحَاتِهِ. He's shoveling the water around. He's distributing the water around. So this person asked the owner of the orchard, what's your name, brother? He said, my name is so-and-so. He said, okay, what makes you ask me my name? He said, by Allah, as I was walking, I heard a voice calling out where this cloud was assigned. You know, you get VIP treatment, your food gets assigned. This food is sent, this platter is sent to so-and-so. And you get this type of personalized treatment. Can you imagine an assigned cloud that is coming exclusively? One is, of course, an assigned cloud can come as a form of adab as well. May Allah protect us. And I just have a flash of this in the 26th juz in Surah Al-Ahqaf. The plural of hiqf, sand dunes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the nation of Ad. فَلَمَّا رَأَوْهُ عَارِضًا مُسْتَقْبِلَ أَوْدِيَتِهِمْ. And when they seen the cloud coming towards their valley and their community, they said, here comes the cloud that is going to shower rain upon us. And yes, that cloud was assigned for you and it was dispatched for you. But the only difference is it was not a cloud of mercy, it was a cloud of azab. And Allah said, when they said that mumtiruna, it's going to send down rain upon us, Allah said, no, بَلْ هُوَ مَسْتَعْجَلْتُمْ بِهِ. In it is the torment that you are asking for, because human nature is that sometimes in your hasty nature, you even ask for wrath. وَيَسْتَعْجِلُونَكَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ قَبْلَ الْحَسَنَةِ وَقَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمُ الْمَثُلَاتِ. Sometimes in your hasty nature, you say, okay, let it happen. And under this ayat, and I'm just having a flash of another verse in the 15 Juz in Surah Bani Israel, it's mentioned in Tafsir al-Uthmani in the footnotes here, that at times in human hasty nature, in our anger and our rage, we even sometimes just hasten in cursing and attracting the wrath of Allah on our children. وَلَوْ يُعَجِّلُ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَوْ يُعَجِّلُ اللَّهُ لِلنَّاسِ الشَّرَّ اسْتِعْجَالَهُمْ بِالْخَيْرِ لَقُضِيَ إِلَيْهِمْ أَجَلُهُمْ. This is mentioned in great write-up in Tafsir al-Uthmani, that sometimes you say, oh, the son of mine is driving me crazy. May Allah, and you just, la ilaha illallah. I urge you, my sister, I urge you, my brother, while this was unintended in my address, but it featured out, walk away, walk away. In fact, I often say that forgive him and then take out sadaqah and ask Allah to forgive him, because your inner heart will have consequences in his life, and those consequences will hurt him and hurt you more. So you need to forgive him and ask Allah to forgive him as well. Sayyidina Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam said, Yaghfirullahu lakum, la tathriba alaykum al-yawm, yaghfirullahu lakum. I have forgiven you and may Allah forgive you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was told with regards to the Sahaba when they erred in the campaign of Uhud, that Allah said, fa'fu anhum wastaghfir lahum. Pardon them and ask Allah to forgive them. There's a great write-up there. Anyway, we were saying in the context of the incident here, so he asked the man, how is it that you enjoy your own reign? Right, so there's a crisis, business is not happening, it's not thriving, there's no liquid, there's no movement, there's no business, there's nothing happening in the account. So everything has been shut and blocked and the entire economy is bleeding locally, globally, nationally, internationally. So how can there be an intervention? And I'm not, shying away from the fact that we need to flex our hands and do what is within our reach. That is our teachings. I take the cue from the narrative of Sayyidatina Maryam radiallahu anha, that when she was experiencing childbirth, which is makhad, right? فأجاءها المخاض, she was in labor pain. And then she said, يَا لَيْتَنِي مِتُّ قَبْلَ هَذَا وَكُنْتُ نَسِيًا مَنْسِيًا. And now I have another academic flash over that. But anyway, I'll share it because it also features in the discussion. So she said, يَا لَيْتَنِي, oh, I wish that I had long died and people had forgotten me. So this brings to the fore the very, very famous debate and discussion. Is it permissible to desire death out of pain, agony, distress, anxiety, adversity? No, it's not. The Prophet ﷺ said, لا يتمنين أحدكم الموت لضر أصابته. That none of you should desire death. None of you should desire death out of pain. Out of pain. And if you desire death out of wanting to meet Allah, that's perfectly fine. If you are in a really narrowed corner and it's really getting difficult for you, then the most you can say is, Allahumma ahyini ma kanati al-hayatu khayran li. Oh Allah, give me life for as long as life is good for me. Wa tawaffani idha kanati al-wafatu khayran li. And give me death if death is good for me. And again a digression on this here, forgive me, but it's just Quran that is so beautiful. That in the fourth juz, in the context of Surah in the tale of Uhud, when the companions had desired death and then they heard that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was assassinated, which was a rumor, and this was rumor mongering by the opposite campaign, and obviously this created some uneasiness in the ranks of Sahaba. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then gently reproached the Sahaba. وَلَقَدْ كُنْتُمْ تَمَنَّوْنَ الْمَوْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن تَلْقَوْهُ فَقَدْ رَأَيْتُمُوهُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. Whole academic write-up under this ayah in Bayanul Quran. Allah did not frown on them desiring death, because they were desiring death to meet Allah. Allah frowned upon them or modestly reproached them that when death presented, why did you withdraw? So that does not go against the fact that if you desire death out of meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is fine. So coming back to the discussion, that Maryam radiallahu anha, she said, I wish I passed away. So how do we reconcile her? Now she had the fear society will blemish me, they will soil my name, they will hurl accusations at me, and they will say nasty things to me. And that's precisely what they said. They said, ya ukhta Harun, oh, the sister of Harun. And I just want to mention this here. Allah is putting so many thoughts in my mind at this moment. And I, you know, this is the grace of Allah. Recently, somebody sent me a video of an individual, unfortunately, who has somewhat become very disillusioned towards the faith of Islam, because she was searching certain videos on YouTube, which was creating within her turbulence about her faith. So I viewed one of those videos, and in that the person tries to create flaws in Quran and tries to prove Islam incorrect. Now, you know, my mind is running, but just to, in whatever Allah has put in my mind, I will say here. Number one, this will always remain the object of those that are enemies to Islam. Allah says, يستحبون الحياة الدنيا على الآخرة ويصدون عن سبيل الله ويبغونها عوجا. ويبغو, this in Qurtubi, it's mentioned. The three things they will do. They give preference to material over the eternal. They prevent from the path of Allah. And they will always look for loopholes or flaws or weaknesses or deficiencies in the deen. But we know there's no deficiency in the deen. It is your flawed vision that you arrive at these supposed deficiencies in the deen. So one of these videos, which unfortunately for a person with basic knowledge, you know what, you could easily mislead someone. He says that the Quran is inconsistent. The Quran refers to Maryam as the sister of Harun, right? And Harun alayhi salam and the time of Maryam, there's a huge gap between the two. So this particular sister, and may Allah guide her, may Allah guide me, I'm in no position. If there's anything we speak with fear, it's iman. If there's something that nobody can be loud about, nobody can, because we all live in, and as long as we live in, we fear in, because we don't know when Allah can snatch and Allah can take our iman, is the aspect of iman. And it got me into the need of trying to prepare my thoughts on a dedicated lecture to address some of the misconceptions that people have, or people are throwing out to confuse the naive mind. Someone who's not well educated or who has not studied the Quran, they could be easily fall prey to this year. And of course, the devil comes in and compounds it and exacerbates it. So one of the arguments this person puts out in the video is that the Quran incorrectly, erroneously, wal'iyadhu billah, wal'iyadhu billah, wal'iyadhu billah, refers to Maryam as ya ukhta Harun, the sister of Harun. Now the ulama say, yeah, it doesn't refer to Harun alayhi salatu wassalam. It refers to a Harun in the family. Or ukht doesn't mean biological sister. It refers to that lineage, that family coming down from that same bloodline. And often you connect someone to a very distant relative because it's in the same family or the same tribe, etc. So nowhere did the Quran claim to say that Harun alayhi salam was the biological brother of Maryam, and using this to prove that, wal'iyadhu billah, the Quran is incorrect. And yet there's another deduction from this here that the scholars tell us, that when you come from a noble family, then the expectation of nobility is automatically elevated. مَا كَانَ أَبُوكِ امْرَأَ سَوْءٍ وَمَا كَانَتْ أُمُّكِ بَغِيَّةٍ. You come from a noble family, O Maryam. Your mom was not unchaste. Your dad was not evil. So Sayyidatina Maryam radiallahu anha feared the allegations of people. And that's why she said that, oh Allah, I wish I had passed on. So the permissibility of her desire of death was not out of any pain. But this is what's mentioned in the tafsir, that she feared that the accusations of people towards her morality will be too much for her to bear and for her to display the expected amount of sabr. So if a person makes the desire of death, ya Allah, the times are too difficult. The times are too difficult, and you know, it's becoming too challenging for me to live in these times. Allah, take me away because of the preservation of my iman. I mentioned the statement of my granny, rahimahullah. May Allah grant her Jannah. And I've mentioned in different parts of the world, and people really like it. I was a kid, and she was in her advanced age, and she used to everybody to dua karwe Allah mani layla. And every time I used to say, I mean, as a kid, we used to look at her because we used to call her one ren ma. So every month we used to get those big one ren coins, right? And this is like a good 30 years back. And you know what one ren could do with you back that time. So you, in your limited understanding, you know, you just want your 1 rand. So you know what? Even if Allah keeps you alive for my 1 rand, I'm happy. And she used to say this here, and later these years, these words played back in my heart and mind. She used to say, "I juni akti nawa tamaha ni jawata." I juni akti nawa tamaha ni jawata dikra. These old eyes, these traditional eyes, these conservative eyes, these modest eyes cannot see these modern fitnas. They cannot deal with these contemporary. I talak martiyawe ni hambratu. I garo marti ni hambratu. These are traditional ears. They only were exposed to Quran. These eyes were modest eyes. They couldn't hear these things. It became too much. So anyway, if a person desires death out of the fear that, Ya Allah, the times are too challenging. Ya Allah, the times are too challenging. Oh Allah, it's become too difficult for me. And out of the fear that I won't able to conduct myself in a way that is expected from me, then that is permissible. So we were still speaking about that incident, and just to wrap up on that note and try and, you know, share one hadith, that the person then asked him, he said, like, you enjoying this rain and this water here exclusive to you. Why? How did you get this water? And he said that, Ama idha sa'alt, now that you have asked, that every time when I harvest my crops, fa'akulu thuluthi, I eat a third of it, wa atasaddaq bithuluth, and I give 1/3 in charity, and 1/3 I reinvest to generate more, you know, revenue and more harvest, etc. And by virtue of me giving 1/3 in charity, even when there's no rain, Allah sends me rain. So we would like to, you know, say to one and all there, it's turbulent time and it's challenging time. Those who had water, you know, had wealth in their reserves, even that's been depleted, as people are saying, because of the crunch and how it's biting through so aggressively. May Allah make it easy. But yes, a believer's trust is in the Almighty. The point that I actually had intended in the analogy of Maryam radiallahu anha was that while she was in childbirth, miraculously Allah had given her dates, but Allah told her to shake the branch. Allah told her to shake the branch, and from that the scholars deduce that although the falling of the dates was a miracle, and Allah could have extended the nature of that miracle by causing it to fall without her having to shake the branch, but there was a gentle hint in that command imposed upon her that in the world, we have been told to move our hands. We have been told. In fact, under this ayah, إِنَّ لَكَ أَلَّا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى وَأَنَّ لَكَ let not the devil expel you from Jannah فَتَشْقَى. It's in the 16th juz, in the 20th chapter, that if the devil expels you from Jannah, O Adam, فَتَشْقَى, then you will have to find yourself in difficulty. Right? Shaqa can either be extracted from the root word of shaqwa, which means misfortune, or from shaqa in the sense of ta'ab and fatigue. And of course, it refers to the latter and not the former. And Nabi is the noblest of Allah's creation, the paragon of Allah's creation. And under this ayah in the tafsir, it is written that when Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam came on earth, then from heaven, some food was sent down to him, some basic food. And as he approached it, right, the food kind of rolled down. This is mentioned in a tafsiri riwayat. It could probably be an Israeli narration. It's not a hadith in any way, but it features in the tafasir. And the food, it's mentioned in Ma'riful Quran, and that's where I read it. And the food kind of rolled down. So Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam had to tag behind and had to tail behind. And that is precisely what was told to him, that in Jannah, the food was given to you freely, with ease. And in this world, fatashqa, you will have to get tired for your sustenance. And this is how it will be in this world, O Adam, that you and your children will travel and traverse the world to find sustenance. But the message we intended to communicate was to say that just as we give reassurance that shifa is from the Almighty, Allah is the Raziq. Allah is the Raziq. Continue giving your charity, my brother and my sister, and Allah will make divine arrangements. So just to share one hadith here, and that is, again, speaking about the kindness of Allah with regards to the test that Allah puts upon His servant. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, إِذَا كَثُرَ الذُّنُوبُ الْعَبْدِ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ مَا يُكَفِّرُهَا مِنَ الْعَمَلِ إِبْتَلَاهُ اللَّهُ بِالْحَزَنِ لِيُكَفِّرَهَا عَنْهُ رَوَاهُ أَحْمَدُ. Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha radiyallahu anha says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when the sin of a bondsman increase and he does not possess the deeds that will atone for them, Allah Ta'ala then afflicts him with sorrow to expiate those sins. Subhanallah. So even in the pain and the difficulty that Allah inflicts upon us, the aim is our good and our benefit, because we have so much sins. So Allah lightens our burdens. How often you find a person goes through a relatively healthy life, and in a year or 6 months before he passes on, he or she becomes unwell and the health deteriorates and they become quite sick and quite difficult and challenging. And hopefully it is, hoped in the mercy of Allah that that latter 6 months of their life will be a source of atonement for their wrong. So a believer is in a win-win situation at all times. Just some quick reflections here on some of the quotations of the Salafus Salihin in terms of sabr. So beautiful. Junaid rahimahullah used to say, وَقَدْ سُئِلَ عَنِ الصَّبْرِ. He said, هُوَ تَجَرُّعُ الْمَرَارَةِ مِنْ غَيْرِ تَعَبُّسٍ. La ilaha illallah. What's the definition of patience? To swallow something bitter without frowning. You know when you give the child a medication and right? He frowns and scowls and it's not nice and whatever. هو تجرع تجرع يتجرع يتجرعه ولا يكاد يصيغه. Allah speaks about that. So هو تجرع المرارة من غير تعبس. It is to swallow something bitter without frowning. And I'll leave you with the last quotation of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. It's a very profound quotation of Ali radiallahu anhu, in which he used to say, خُذُوا عَنِّي خَمْسًا. One is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam about that five. But this is the quotation of Sayyidina Ali, and I read it in Ibn Kathir and the commentary of Surah Al-Saba as well. It's there, and I read it elsewhere, and it's mentioned here in this book as well. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu used to say, لَا يَخَافَنَّ أَحَدٌ إِلَّا ذَنْبَهُ. Don't fear anything but the consequences of your sins. If you really need to fear, not the economy, not the COVID, nothing, as a believer, what my sins are going to do with me. Number two, وَلَا يَرْجُوا إِلَّا رَبَّهُ. Don't invest your hopes in anyone but Allah. وَلَا يَسْتَحِي مَنْ لَا يَعْلَمْ أَنْ يَتَعَلَّمْ. And the one who doesn't know, don't feel shy. Go and ask. Listen, I don't know. Can you help me? Thank you. That's it. وَلَا يَسْتَحِي مَنْ لَا يَعْلَمْ إِذَا سُئِلَ عَمَّا لَا يَعْلَمْ أَنْ يَقُولَ لَا أَعْلَمْ. And the one who doesn't know, and someone asks him something, don't fabricate or forge or lie. Say, I don't know. وَإِنَّ الصَّبْرَ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ بِمَنْزِلَةِ الرَّأْسِ مِنَ الْجَسَدِ. فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ الرَّأْسُ ذَهَبَ الْجَسَدُ وَإِذَا ذَهَبَ الصَّبْرُ ذَهَبَ الْإِيمَانُ. And he said the role of patience in iman is like the role of the head in the body. If there's no head, there's no human. If there's no sabr, there's no iman. And Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah alayhi used to say that that the qawl of Ali radiyallahu anhu can be supported from the Quran as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the 21st juz in Surah Alif Lam Mim Sajda that وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً. We made them leaders. وَجَعَلْنَاهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا. They would guide through our inspiration. لَمَّا صَبَرُوا. When they persevered. لَمَّا أَخَذُوا بِرَأْسِ الْأَمْرِ صَارُوا رُؤَسَى. This is in Ibn Kathir. لَمَّا أَخَذُوا بِرَأْسِ الْأَمْرِ صَارُوا رُؤَسَى. When they adopted the core, the essence, the main, Allah made them leaders. وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ. And they had reliance on our verses. Ibn Kathir under this ayah writes, بِالصَّبْرِ وَالْيَقِينِ تَنَالُ الْإِمَامَةُ فِي الدِّينِ. That the formula and the recipe to become a leader in deen, may Allah make us leaders in deen, is to have patience and conviction. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. We ask Allah to alleviate, to give divine sustenance to one and all. We ask Allah to grant shifa and cure and strength and afiyah to one and all. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. Wa salli allahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.